The 100 Years' War, the Duguesclin period, the Revolt of the Towns, 1380 to 82, the beginning of the revolt in 1379. Now, the disturbances in Languedoc in 1379, like the urban tax strikes of 1380, were warnings of a more profound crisis, as perhaps only King Charles V himself had understood at the time. They occurred against a difficult economic background. Disease, depopulation, and a deepening recession characterized by falling agricultural prices, industrial stagnation, and a severe shortage of gold and silver coins all contributed to the growing crisis of European cities. The physical destruction wrought by the war in England, France, and Italy, and later in Flanders, Spain, and Portugal aggravated all the effects. In England, rich in statistical evidence, almost every indicator of economic activity in this period was marked by decline. Anecdotal evidence and sporadic outbreaks of violence confirmed the pattern elsewhere. The popular revolt of the Ciompi in Florence in 1378 had been a major crisis in the affairs of one of Europe's principal industrial centers, which passed virtually unnoticed outside of Italy. Yet over the next 4 years, similar urban revolts generated by unemployment and crushing burdens of war taxation would shake the instincts of the governing classes in both France and England. Beyond the walls of the cities, the peasant revolt of 1381 in England and the rebellion of the peasant Tuscans in central France proved to be even more disturbing to societies whose wealth was still founded on agricultural production. These rebellions marked the beginning of a period in which popular violence once again became a major factor in the fortunes of European states. The world is old, time is infirm, sang the poet Eustace Deschamps, voicing the joyless pessimism, however conventional, clearly struck a chord amongst this aristocratic audience and is matched in the works of his English contemporaries. In September of 1379, the three great towns of Flanders, Ghent, and Bruges, as well as Ypres, rebelled against the authority of Count Louis of Mall. The great cities were leading industrial and commercial cities of Flanders and among the largest in Europe. Their wealth and concentrated populations made them a formidable political force, especially when they united. They had played the leading role in all the civil wars of Flanders in the past 80 years. They had established themselves as an intermediate level of government, carving the country up into quarters over which they asserted and intermittently exercised intrusive powers of control. Yet their fortunes had been in precipitate decline for some years. To some extent, this was due to the general contraction of all the Western economic powers in the late 14th century. There were others, particularly local factors, at work as well. The three great towns and the Courtauld protege of Ghent that was almost ranked as a fourth specialized in manufacturing of luxury woolen clothes. Their costs were high, mainly because of the resistance to technological change and the dependence on high-quality raw wool imported from England. By the 1370s, they were being undercut in the main export market by luxury woolen clothing made in Italy and by silks and velvets, which were increasingly favored by fashion-conscious buyers. Lower-quality stuff was also encountering intense competition from rural villages and smaller towns of Flanders, and increasingly from the fledgling cloth industries of Brabant and England. These changes undermined the delicate social balance on which the internal peace of the Flemish towns depended. Masters responded to the shrinkage of their trade with tighter restrictions on entry into the craft guilds, as a result of which a growing portion of those engaged in the textile industry were casually employed artisans and unskilled laborers. Meanwhile, inflation ate at the real value of the textile workers' wages. The effect was aggravated by Louis de Mall's frequent devaluations of the coinage and by a sharp rise in the level of taxes. The municipal authorities, especially in Ghent and Ypres, responded to the threat of their position by exercising tighter control over their quarters in order to limit competition from smaller cloth-making centers. This tutelage, supported by armed force when necessary, was a source of much ill feeling and brought the great towns into collision with the officers of the count. Louis de Mall had not forgotten the role of Ghent, Bruges, and Ypres, and their weavers in particular. In the revolution of his father's reign, he deliberately set out to undermine them, supporting the pretensions of smaller centers with privileges and protecting him in his court. The rapid development of the country's administrative and judicial institutions gave Louis far more effective means of intervention than his predecessors had enjoyed. In the long term, these trends would reduce the ancient autonomy of the cities to absolutely nothing. Their immediate effect was to provoke a final spasm of revolt against the count's authority, led by the town, which was the most directly affected. In Ghent, the largest of the three cities, the contraction of the textile industry had been more rapid than anywhere else. In the 1370s, the population of the town was probably not more than 30,000, about half of what it had been 30 years before. Unemployment and poverty were serious and growing problems. Like other Flemish towns, Ghent was governed by councils dominated by the land-owning patriot and shifting coalitions of craft and trade guilds. In the contracting economy, political power became the means by which the rival groups sought to line their pockets and protect their commercial interests at the expense of others. These rivalries quickly spilled out into the street and the workshops. Conspiracies, strikes, and street violence between rival interests were aggravated by personal rivalries between the major guilds and blood feuds between prominent patrician and mercantile families. These conditions provided ready opportunities for demagogues and mobsters. Now, next time we're going to look at what started it and then go through to the next step. So it's interesting to see that since we've been watching all of the English and French economies go up and down during the Hundred Years' War, as it's been going on. Of course, that then goes down to the lower level. And of course, these cities in Flanders are the next biggest group that goes up and down. But they're a little more, shall we say, prone to igniting their complaints at this time. So that's what we'll be doing next. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.